wisdom to guide. I was reminded once again this week, as I'm reminded many times every day, that I'm not perfect. I think Gail knows where I'm going here. Sometimes it's best not to hit send. But I made a comment on social media directed at a person, and it wasn't something that I should have done. But so I got in trouble with Gail and in trouble. But the toughest part is I had to apologize. And that's always hard to do. But excuse me, and I hope my voice makes it here. So I had originally planned to talk on the parable of the soils from Mark 4, but I decided I needed to search myself and come up with something else. So my text this morning, and it kind of fits in a little bit to that parable of the soils, because we as Christians, we are called, to sow seeds, and it's important about the attitude and the actions of the sower. So James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So I'm going to read that. That'll be my text, and I've got a few. Did everybody get a copy of the other scriptures I'll be referencing? If you didn't, I think Gail's got some more back there. So just raise your hand and Gail will bring one to you. Anyway, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the only one I don't have on the sheet, so we'll read it. And so my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a little forest fire kindles? See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And once again, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Controlling our tongue is one of the toughest battles we face in our spiritual lives. Our words and our speech are to be glorifying to God and used to build up those around us. It doesn't take people long to get a feel for the person through the way they talk, the tone they use. And it reminds me that we need to be careful of the way we behave towards others in the name of our witness for Christ. The tongue is the key to our maturity as a Christian. And I found out again, I have a ways to go. The tongue is the true measure of the change that's taken place on the inside. You know, we often deal with the more impressive issues of faith, the seemingly more important issues. You know, we may spend hours praying, memorizing, and reading the Bible. And all these things are good and commanded by God. But if we fail to control our tongue, James says they are worthless. Think of the tongue as such a small part of our body, but boy, is it powerful. And as we read in the scripture, the ship is controlled by just a small apparatus, the rudder. But the rudder tells the ship where to go. Words are like dynamite. If used properly and in the right place, they are beneficial. And if we use them improperly, they can produce a lot of damage. And I want to read James 3, verse 2 once again. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So that's saying that if we could control our tongue, we could control our lives some better, and we could master many things in our lives, and our witness would be greatly enhanced. And you know, we hear the story about the Chicago fire, and I'm not sure, we don't know if that story is true or not, about the cow who kicked over the lantern in the stall and the whole city burned. But sometimes, you know, it tells us a little bit about just that one wrong thing we say can spread like wildfire, and it can tear down not just the person that you may have directed it to or the group of people, but the word spreads. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. And in Greek, the word idle means lazy or free from work. And that means that if what we speak doesn't produce some good, we'll be held accountable. And it says that in Matthew 12, verse 36, we'll have to give account. And that includes, you know, the tongue can spread a lot of misinformation too, in the form of, even if it isn't misinformation, we're not to gossip. A person who gossips is like the devil's broadcasting station. And Paul says someone who gossips is a busybody, someone who doesn't necessarily have a fulfilling life of their own, so they insist on talking about someone else's. How do I know if I'm gossiping? And as you know, some of the things that I have here are things that I've looked up and thought were worth sharing. And here are five practical questions to ask yourself before sharing information. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it beneficial? Do I have permission to share it? And is my motive pure? And I'd say if we can't answer yes to those questions, it's probably best to keep it to ourselves. Gossiping and lying a lie can spread. And the person you tell it to might take it as truth, and then they'll continue to tell it. And there's an illustration here that I found. A man in a small village had been found guilty of starting a malicious rumor about another man. The rumor was not only a lie, but had seriously damaged the other man's reputation and family. As is often the custom in small villages, the accused was taken before the chief of the village, who served as a judge and would hear the case and decide the man's punishment if found guilty. After hearing the facts, the chief found the accused to be guilty and was now preparing to sentence the man to his punishment. The old wise chief handed the man a large bag of feathers and told him that his only punishment would be to place a feather on the doorstep of every person to whom he had told the rumor. The man was relieved of such a light punishment and quickly took the bag of feathers and set about his task. 4 hours later, the man returned to the king with an empty bag and said, "I completed the task. Is there anything else?" "Yes," the chief replied. "Report to me in the morning and I'll give you the second half of your punishment." The man reported the next morning and was instructed that the second half of his punishment was to gather all the feathers, to gather them back up and place them in a bag. "But sir," the man replied, "didn't you hear the storm that raged through our village last night? Didn't you feel the force of the winds that blew? It would be impossible to know where those feathers are now." The wise old chief raised his index finger and pointed knowingly at the man. "Now you see, my child, the damage that you have done to another. For although you told only a few lies here and there, the storm of gossip took hold of those lies and spread them far beyond your grasp to undo them. You can regret what you said, but you can never fully undo what you said. So, you know, like those feathers, the words that we say in a moment of idleness and a moment of gossip or a moment of untruth, they can spread like wildfire and go through the village like those feathers probably did. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying eyes are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." When you tell a lie, even you know, we as humans have relegated lies to different categories, like a white lie, and there's that if I say this or whatever, it's not going to hurt anything. Might protect myself and won't hurt anybody else. So we might categorize things as a white lie, but it is still an abomination in the sight of God. And I like the Hebrew meaning for the word abomination. It means a disgusting thing. So lying lips are a disgusting thing to God. He considers it an abomination. And we tell our kids, always tell the truth. Even if you think it'll get you in trouble, because someone who perpetually lies is hard to trust. The dangerous and destructive tongue swears and cusses, murmurs and complains. And it's a very humorous illustration about complaining. A gentleman decided to withdraw from society and its busyness. He joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. At the end of each year, he could say two words. At the end of his first year of absolute silence, he met with his supervising monk and was given the opportunity to say two words. With his two words, he said, "Bed hard." Another whole year of silence followed. Second year, without any words, he met with this monk, and with his precious two words, he said, "Food cold." Another year of silence followed. At the end of the third wordless year, he meets with this monk and says, "I quit." The monk says, "You might as well. All you've done is complain." But he had two words every year, and he used them to complain. And oftentimes, that is often easily the first things that we mention are our complaints and how tough we've got it and how hard our bed is and how cold the food might be, and we forget the blessings that we also enjoy. And the dangerous and destructive tongue also criticizes. And reading verse 9 again in our text, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. How and what we talk about reveals our hearts in a way nothing else does. In Matthew 12, 33 through 35 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. And James gives us some guidelines as to taming our tongues, and be quick to listen and slow to speak. And James says in James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I know that I am often unlike right now, I don't often measure my words. I try to do it up here, but when I'm out and about, sometimes things just kind of pop out. You probably shouldn't think about what we have to say. Be slow to speak. And Abraham Lincoln said, it is better to be remain silent than be thought a fool, than to open your mouth and remove all the... I'm going to read this again. It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And Calvin Coolidge says, I have never been hurt by anything I did not say. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And James 1:26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And this is something that I know that I need to be aware of. And I think bridling my tongue is going to be a lifelong struggle. Whoever, in Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. And I'm wondering if I got everything. Did we get everything printed up on that sheet? I have James 4:11 here. It says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And in James 5:9, he says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And we're to speak only what is true. And once again, verse 8 of chapter 3 of our in our text, it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And I think the only way we can accomplish this, and there's other things that we need to accomplish in our life, is to, we can only do it through help from God. We don't have that power in ourselves. And no man can tame the tongue. It says that in James here. And we need God's help. Now what about a tongue that's productive? We talked about We've talked about the unproductive things that can happen. And I look at Jesus as being the ultimate example when he was placed on trial. He was in the right, but yet he kept silent. Remember this. If you are quiet, nobody can quote or misquote you or repeat what you did not say. And Mark Twain once said, a closed mouth gathers no foot. Sometimes it's just best to be quiet. And once again, a tongue that is productive does not gossip. We've already been there. Is addicted to witnessing, speaks the truth in love. Sometimes we, and I'm guilty of this too, I can speak the truth, but I don't maybe do it in a loving way all the time. And as we looked at that illustration earlier, does not grumble and complain. And most importantly, tongue should continually be praising the Lord. I just want to close this with Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I just want to remind us of verse 8 in our text. No man can tame the tongue. I believe only God in his power can accomplish that. And let's be in his word. Let's spend time in prayer. And as we learned in our Sunday school classes in the morning, that we should be immersed in God's word and in the things that he has for us, and use our talents and our tongue accordingly. And you know, I grabbed that thing, I got all green on the hands, and I probably wiped my brow a couple of times. This stuff is probably spreading all over me. And it reminds me of, I made a bad move. So it's kind of like saying a bad thing or an untrue thing or a gossip. It's probably going to spread beyond these fingers. So maybe I should just leave them that way. It'll teach me something. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for each one who's here. And Lord, thank you for the opportunities that you present us, and let us each take advantage of our talents. And let's also be kind to one another and treat each other as we should. And Lord, we just thank you again for this morning. In your name, amen. Our closing hymn, I think, is pretty appropriate. Search Me, O God, page 478.